afternoon, and welcome to iWolfs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show hosted by Dr. Ian Dunbar. iWolfs is proudly sponsored by Premier Pet Products and the Kong Company. In this hour, Dr. Dunbar will help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view. Now here's your host, Dr. Dunbar.
Hi, this is Dr. Dunbar's iWolfs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show to help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view and to learn what you can learn from your dog. So it's hello from me, Dr. Ian Dunbar. Hello from Dune. Hello from Claude. And hello from Ollie. And the topic for this week is errorless house training and chew toy training. And of course, we certainly hope it's going to be errorless. It's possible. When I trained my first male puppy, he was trained to be errorless, and it just makes it so much easier. Every mistake is just a potential disaster. It really is, because it means 10 more are going to come, because you're setting a precedent. You're setting up a bad habit. So house soiling and destructive chewing are two of the most common yet utterly predictable behavior problems, and they cause many owners to banish their dogs to the backyard. Maybe even to surrender their dogs to shelters. These two problems are so common, so utterly predictable. We have to ask ourselves, why don't dog owners know how to house train and chew toy train their dogs? It's hardly rocket science. I mean, it's not that difficult. Because it's very easy here to cite, owner irresponsibility. That's a cop-out, you know. I think for the most part, it's simply not true. I think education is the key, and pet owners simply just don't know this stuff. They don't know how easy it is to house train and chew toy train their dogs. And so who's going to take responsibility here? Well, I think all pet professionals, including myself, have been negligent with regards to proactively educating prospective and current pet owners about how to prevent and resolve these very common and predictable behavior problems. Hence, this internet radio program. I eventually thought, hey, you know, let's do a radio program on the internet, and then we needn't be limited by it being national. It can be international. So, good afternoon to everyone in the United States and Canada, and good evening to those of you in UK and Europe. Good morning to those of you getting up early in Australia and Singapore. So we can go right around the world with this. And I really encourage you to tell everybody, if you're thinking of getting a puppy, or if you have an adult dog that has any of these problems, then download this information. I mean, I wrote a couple of books called Before You Get Your Puppy and After You Get Your Puppy. And the first one, Before You Get Your Puppy, I just thought this information is so important, I actually felt guilty about selling it, and so convinced the publisher to have this book for free download for people so they could find out how to house train dogs and how to chew toy train dogs. It's pretty simple. So you can download it from a number of websites. Go to www.dogstardaily.com. And that's your source for all things dog. It has loads of educational videos too, so you can see this in video format as well as reading how to do it. But this stuff is so important, and I think, as always, we have to see the dog's point of view. And so now, again, it's time for the dog's point of view with Theo and Grasshopper. And Grasshopper says, Theo, wise Akita, I'm worried about my owner. Why, Grasshopper? What's up? Well, the other day I was minding my own business. Well, actually, I was doing my own business on the living room carpet, and my owner ran up to me screaming and rubbed my nose in the feces. Ugh. Whoa, scary, Grasshopper. Yes, Sensei, I guess they have some kind of hang-up about puppy pooping behavior, and they want me to do it in private. So from now on, I've decided to wait until they leave for work so I can poop in peace. Probably a very good idea, Grasshopper. But maybe your owner was trying to teach you something else. Like what, O wise one? Well, perhaps they want you to tamp the feces deep into the carpet pile once you've done. Hadn't thought of that. Or maybe they want me to nose my stools and hide them under the furniture. Yes, that's a good point, Grasshopper. Better do it in private. Well, I have lots of opportunity to do that now, because now they've said I'll have to live in the backyard until I'm house-trained. Oh, dear. That's pretty silly, isn't it, Grasshopper? Who on earth's going to house-train you when you're in the backyard? A shrub? So, poor old Grasshopper's out in the backyard. Who's to know what a dog is going to think when they are peeing and pooping and we come running up to them screaming? I mean, imagine you are in the toilet, you know, mind your own business, reading the paper, then all of a sudden the door bursts open and in comes a 200-foot Akita going, "Boo!" I mean, what would you think? Well, number one, you would never use that toilet again. You would do it somewhere else. That's what poor Grasshopper has learnt. Wait until the owner's gone. This, of course, is one of the biggest drawbacks of using punishment in training. What the dog usually learns is do it when the owner's away. They don't learn that the owner thinks this behavior is inappropriate. They learn just don't act this way when the owner's around. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So let's talk about house training and chew toy training. House training is both active and passive. So passively, firstly, you want to prevent mistakes. You want to manage the dog's environment. And to manage the dog's environment in such a way that she ends up training herself. This is a really important aspect of intelligent training. Management techniques which stack the deck. So the puppy really has great difficulty not to learn how to do it the right way right from the outset. It's a great way to, we call it auto-shaping, that the dog shapes its behavior automatically. Actively, and this is what I guess most people forget, be there. Be there to show your dog. Be there to reward your dog for doing the right thing in the right place at the right time. And this is where, with house soiling, you realize it's not just a spatial problem. It's also a temporal problem. It's a time-space problem. That either the dog is in the right place at the wrong time, that the dog is on a walk, but his bowel and bladder are empty. It's the wrong time. And that can be really annoying and frustrating for owners. Or the dog is in the wrong place at the right time. Like right now, when you're listening to this program, the dog's in your living room and his bladder and bowel are full. So it's the right time. He really wants to go, but he's in the wrong place. And so these are the two sort of temporospatial situations that owners get themselves into. You want to make sure that the puppy is in the right place at the right time, that he's doing the right thing, he's peeing and pooping in the right place at the right time, and you have to be there to make sure this happens, and you have to be there to reward the dog. And that's what captures the behavior. That's it. Once basically a puppy has peed and pooped in the same spot half a dozen to a dozen times and been rewarded for doing so with food treats, he's got it. I mean, he has just got it. I mean, you can just imagine this puppy, I mean, talking to his friends. You know, he's out in the garden, maybe young grasshopper, and he's saying, "Hey, you can't believe my owners. I mean, do you know what they do? So weird. But when I poop, they give me free liver treats. Three liver treats. It's like, wow, I'm going to save up all my urine and feces when they're at work so I can cash it in for liver treats when they come home." Now you see, the dog wants to eliminate in your presence. He wants to wait until you come home, and he wants to do it in the doggy toilet. So the secret then to quick and easy house training, if you like, is learning to predict when the puppy or adult dog needs to relieve herself. The rest is really easy. All you got to do is lead her to her toilet, then praise and give her three liver treats when she's done. So let's think about our management systems, what we're going to do. Well, when you're not at home for an hour or more, keep your puppy confined to a fairly small puppy playroom. such as a kitchen, bathroom, utility room, or you could use an exercise pen to cordon off a small section of a room. And this puppy playroom is your puppy's long-term confinement area, and it should include four things. It should include a comfortable bed, a fresh bowl of water, plenty of hollow chew toys, all stuffed with food, and a doggy toilet in the farthest corner from her bed. The setup when you are at home is, by all means, enjoy short play and training sessions every hour. And if you can't pay full attention to your puppy, even for a single second, for periods of no longer than an hour at a time, confine your puppy to her doggy den. This is her short-term confinement area. And a suitable place would be, say, a portable dog crate. And your puppy's short-term confinement area or doggy den should include a comfortable bed, as before, and plenty of hollow chew toys stuffed with dog food. So when you're away from home, keep the dog confined to its long-term confinement area, which has a comfortable bed, a bowl of fresh water, plenty of hollow chew toys, and a doggy toilet in the farthest corner from her bed. And when you are at home but can't pay attention to your dog, confine her to a dog crate. And has a bed in it, plenty of stuff, hollow chew toys, and every hour on the hour, release your puppy and quickly hustle her, on leash if necessary, to her doggy toilet. You'll only have to wait 3 minutes at the max, and she is going to produce. She is going to pee or poop. When she does so, praise her profusely. There's a good girl. Good girl. And reward her with 3 liver treats. 1 liver treat, 2 liver treats, 3 liver treats. Continue praising her. And now you know that the puppy is delightfully empty, as we call it. And so you can play with her for a little while indoors. Play train her, maybe a little game of fetch. And it should be something that's really not just educational, but it's a lot of fun. And this also is a reward for her peeing and pooping. So this basically is the errorless setup. And it's now time for a short break. And after the break, we're going to come back and explain why we set the dog up in this fashion and how it all works.
From our home to your speakers, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar. As a veterinarian and animal behaviorist, people often ask me which toy is best suited for their canine companion. Without hesitation, I have recommended the durable and versatile Classic Kong toy. The Kong toy is known as the original canine treat and food dispenser. Simply stuff a Kong toy with any healthy dog food or treat, and you have the perfect training tool. A foodstuff Kong toy will stimulate your dog mentally, reduce frustration and anxiety, and ensure your dog is chewing on something other than your sofa. Fine quality Kong products at pet stores everywhere. Your dog will love you for it.
Want to keep your dog busy with good things to chew? Premier's Busy Buddy treat-holding toys are the answer. Each one is designed to hold a different type of treat, providing hours of entertainment. Squirrel Dude features the patented treat meter, randomly dispensing kibble as your dog plays. The Big Kahuna Football includes the patented treat trapper, ideal for hard biscuits and intense chewing pleasure. Ask for Busy Buddy at your local pet store, veterinarian, or trainer, and be sure to check out all the other great Busy Buddy toys, including Waggle, Bouncy Bone, Tug-a-Jug, and more at Premier.com.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to iWolves with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
So before the break, we were talking about setting our puppy up in both a long-term confinement area when we're away from home and a short-term confinement area or a dog crate when we're at home. And why? Well, the purpose of long-term confinement, confining the puppy to a puppy playroom, is fourfold. Firstly, to confine the puppy to an area where chewing and toilet behavior is acceptable. so the puppy does not make any chewing and house soiling mistakes around the house. This is so important. We must prevent mistakes at all costs. A single mistake sets the precedent. If the puppy pees on the carpet once, the puppy is sort of saying, hey, this is my new toilet and it is great. It's carpet, so it soaks up the urine. This is cool. And the puppy will come back and pee there again. I spent 10 years watching them live together. And one of the things I learned is they pee in the same place every day, at the same time, every day, day in, day out. So we got to make sure when a puppy comes home, the first place it pees is in its doggy toilet. The second reason for long-term confinement is to maximize the likelihood that the puppy will learn to use the provided toilet. Young puppies will naturally want to eliminate as far away from their sleeping area as possible. So if you put the toilet, like kitty corner, from where the puppy's bed is, they will naturally leave their bed and cross the crate to where, cross the long-term confinement area to where the toilet is. Thirdly, to maximize the likelihood the puppy will learn to chew only chew toys. And obviously, these are the only chewables available in the playroom. And, of course, the chew toys have been stuffed with food. So the puppy will naturally want to chew them. And they're just going to initiate a good habit right from the outset. Fourthly, to teach the puppy to settle down calmly and quietly without barking. This is absolutely essential that you do this the first day your puppy or adopted adult dog is home. The sooner they learn that there are little quiet moments where you are on your own and you got to settle down and amuse yourself quietly, calmly, without barking, the easier life will be for them. We do not want this dog developing separation anxiety and a whole load of home alone problems. So then, what's the purpose of short-term close confinement, confining the dog to a crate? A lot of the reasons are the same. Firstly, to confine the puppy to an area where chewing behavior is acceptable, so the puppy doesn't make chewing mistakes around the house. To make the puppy, secondly, a chew toyaholic. Since chew toys are the only chewables available and they're stuffed with food, the puppy is going to chew them and he's going to develop a habit. And like all habits, it's going to be hard to break. And this puppy is going to become a chew toyaholic. He's going to wake up in the morning and say, whoa, need my chew toy, need it really quickly. Thirdly, to teach the puppy to settle down calmly, quietly, and happily for periodic, short little moments. It's really essential for a puppy living in a domestic setting that there's times when we leave it at home alone. I mean, times we have to go to work, we may go on holiday, we may go to hospital, or we're late getting home because of the traffic. You know, I'm not saying keep your dog at home alone. I'm just saying we got to be realistic, and there are times when it happens, so we should teach the dog to enjoy little quiet moments on its own. And when you establish that as the status quo, it's a habit, it's accepted, and it's just very, very easy for the dog. Fourthly, to prevent house soiling mistakes around the house. The dog's in the crate. Now, it would be a disaster if it soiled his dog crate, but we won't have mistakes around the house. Fifthly, and this is important, to predict precisely when the puppy needs to eliminate. Dogs naturally avoid soiling their den. So when you temporarily confine a puppy to a dog crate, it strongly inhibits urination and defecation. And this, of course, means that the puppy will need to relieve himself when released from the crate each hour. And you will be there, won't you, to show the puppy the right spot, to reward him and for eliminating in the right spot, and then to enjoy a short play training session. So they're the reasons for long-term confinement and short-term confinement. These instructions are incredibly simple, and they're errorless. If you follow them, the puppy will be errorlessly house-trained and errorlessly chew-toy-trained. However, not everyone can follow instructions. And so here's some of the more usual questions that people ask me. Firstly, why confine the pup to his doggy den? Why not his playroom? The whole point of confining a puppy to a dog crate, to his short-term close confinement area, when you were at home, was so you could predict when your puppy wants to go, so that when you release him on the hour, you can show him the right spot, and reward him for doing the right thing in the right place at the right time. If he's just in his playroom, that will be passive house training. Active house training is really important, that you are there to show the puppy where and reward the dog. But what if my puppy doesn't like going in his crate? And obviously, before you confine your puppy to a crate, his doggy den, you first need to teach him to love the crate and love confinement. This is so easy to do. My classic way of doing this, I love doing it when I'm on TV and someone says, my puppy doesn't like his crate, he won't go in it. So I'll take a Kong and I'll sit on the floor with the puppy and I will stuff this Kong with some treats. I'll put a bit of liver in the hole at the end and I'll put in a bit of cheese and I'll put in some moistened kibble and then did another a couple of dog biscuits, and then I'll show the puppy the Kong and maybe use it as a lure to get him to sit and lie down and sit again. Then I put the Kong in the crate and I shut the door. But the puppy's on the outside, and you just have to sit back and watch and laugh. And the puppy sort of looks at the door and then looks at you and says, hey, no, my stuffed Kong's in the crate. You've closed the door. This is something wrong. And they go around the back of the crate and they sniff. And then you just ask the puppy, hey, would you like to go in your crate? And you open the door, and the puppy walks straight in. Initially, I'd probably keep the door open and have the Kong or the squirrel dude or the big football tied in there. So the puppy has the choice of chewing a chew toy full of food in the crate or leaving the crate and exploring, under supervision, of course, but not having the chew toy. Another question I'm asked a lot is, why release the pup every hour? Why not every 55 minutes or every 3 hours? Is it really necessary to do it on the hour? You know, puppies have a 45-minute bladder capacity at about 3 weeks of age. That means they sleep, they wake up, they mum licks them, they pee, they empty their bladder, they poop, then they suckle, then they fall asleep. And the whole cycle takes 45 minutes. This stretches to, say, 75 minutes by about 8 weeks of age, 90 minutes by the time they're 12 weeks old, and then by 18 weeks, they've got a good two-hour capacity, a good two-hour sleep, wake-up, pee-poop, play, fall-asleep cycle. And so doing it every hour, you know, offers your puppy an hourly opportunity to pee and poop. But more importantly, it offers you an hourly opportunity to show your puppy where and reward your puppy. Now, obviously, you don't have to do it, I mean, precisely on the hour. It's just, it's so much easier to remember if you do it each hour on the hour. Why run the puppy to the toilet? Why not, you know, walk sedately? Well, if you take your time getting there, the dog may go en route. But secondly, if you hurry your puppy, then you're going to jiggle his bowels and bladder so that when you stand still, the puppy's going to say, ooh, I actually need to take a leak here. I need to poop. And so it makes the prediction even quicker. Why not just put the puppy outside? Can't he do it on his own? Of course he can. But the whole point, again, of house training, active house training, the whole point of predicting when your puppy wants to relieve himself is so you can show him where and offer well-deserved praise and rewards. You know, you got to be there. Active house training. It's only going to take a couple of weeks, and then your puppy will have it for life. Why instruct the puppy to eliminate? Doesn't he know he wants to go? By instructing your puppy to eliminate, you know, go pee, go poop, when you know he wants to go, this is the easiest way to train him to do it on command. Much easier to do with a puppy than an adult dog. And it's very, very useful technique, especially when you're traveling and what have you. So hurry up, run him to the spot, then say, go pee, go poop. And when he does it, good dog. Why give the puppy 3 minutes? Isn't 1 minute sufficient? You know, usually a male dog's going to urinate within 30 seconds. May take 1 or 2 minutes for him to poop. Certainly worthwhile to allow him a full 3 minutes to make sure, you know, that he's empty. Look, it's only 3 minutes out of the hour. And if you've got a whole family, each family member can be responsible for each hourly visit. What if the puppy doesn't go? Hey, no biggie. After 3 minutes, back he goes in his crate. Try again half an hour later. Repeat the process over and over till he eventually goes, then reward him. 5 liver treats. And then learning takes place, and he thinks, hey, when I pee and poop, I get 5 liver treats. So next time, he's going to do it quicker. That's what training is all about. You know, it's changing behavior so that you end up with a speedy defecator and a speedy peer. Why praise the puppy? Isn't relief sufficient reward? Yeah, but, you know, let's think about what you would do if the puppy did it on the carpet. You'd get mad. So why don't you use that emotion when you get something right and say, good puppy, that's the most wonderful and beautiful thing I've ever seen. Let him know he's done the right thing in the right place at the right time. Why offer treats? Isn't praise sufficient reward? No, it's not for most people. I mean, most people could not praise a dead lettuce, let alone reward a puppy for, you know, peeing and pooping in an appropriate place. I mean, when I'm lecturing, I often ask all the men in class to stand up and praise their puppy for peeing, and I say, I want you to say, "Weezy good boy, din, 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 din." And it sounds like this. Precisely. Silence. Most men can't praise, period, but they can all give three liver treats. And then the puppy says, wow, hey, my guy's cool. You know, you cash up your feces, you can cash him in for liver treats. Now the dog wants to do it. Why freeze-dried liver? You know, we're house training here. It's time to use the Ferrari of dog treats, freeze-dried liver. We want this dog to know he's really happy. Three liver treats. Well, the funny thing is, if I say praise and reward your dog, people don't do it. But if I say use three liver treats, I've actually had owners say, good boy, here's one treat, here's another treat. Hey, 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 Jan, have you got a third treat? I've run out. They actually do it, and they follow my lectures to the letter. And what should you do if you find your dog in the habit of peeing or pooping in the living room? You catch him in the act of making a mistake. Well, I would pick up a rolled-up newspaper and hit yourself on the head with it. Obviously, you did not follow the instructions. Who allowed the urine and feces-filled puppy to have free range of your house? Smack yourself with the newspaper. Go back to step one. Do not pass go. Do not collect your $200. Follow these instructions, and please house train your puppy so you don't get mad with him. Well, now it's time for a break again, so I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Conversation at a click of a mouse. VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you want to keep your dog busy with good things to chew? Check out the newest products in Premier's Busy Buddy line. The Bouncy Bone combines rubber, durable nylon, and replaceable rawhide rings for extended playtime pleasure. Fill Tugger Jug with treats or kibble, and your dog will be regularly rewarded while playing fetch or tug or just rolling it around on his own. Ask for Busy Buddy at your local pet store, veterinarian, or trainer. And be sure to check out all the other great Busy Buddy toys, including Waggle, Twist and Treat, Squirrel Dude, and more at Premier.com.
Looking for the world's most versatile and durable dog toy? The Kong Company established the standard for dog toy performance and durability. The legendary red rubber Kong toy is recommended by the world's top veterinarians and dog trainers. A treat-stuffed Kong toy is the training tool of choice for addressing numerous behavioral challenges, including destructive chewing, excessive barking, and separation anxiety. Kong toys are available at pet stores worldwide. Get your Kong today. Your dog will love you for it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to iWolfs with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar, and I'm back with iWolfs. And before the break, we were talking about house training a puppy and all the many questions that people have. Basically comes down to predict when, so you can be there to show your puppy where, and then reward it for doing the right thing in the right place. You know, it's not that difficult, folks, but we do have to follow instructions. Few isolated topics now. Training a puppy to eliminate on cue. This can be really helpful, especially when you're traveling and you're in a hurry. You know, you're driving for Thanksgiving and you do a quick input-output break, and you want your puppy to urinate very, very quickly, and so you can get back on the road again. So saying puppy go pee or puppy go poop is very, very useful behavior. It's basically no different from any other lure reward training. Request, response, reward, and we need the lure in there. So one, request the dog to go, go pee, go poop. Two, lure the dog. 3, the puppy goes, he pees and poops. And 4, we praise and we give liver treats. And the question is, how are we going to lure the dog to go? Well, basically, prediction is the lure, that after confinement, we know the puppy wants to go, and we let him out of his crate. We know he wants to go, so all we got to do is get him to the right place and ask him to do it. When we're driving in the car, of course, we know he wants to go. He's been in the car for 2 hours like us. We want to go, for heaven's sake. And so we take him outside, and we say, puppy, go pee, and sure enough, he does it. So it's basic lure-reward training. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, request. 2, lure. 3, we get the response. And 4, we reward the dog. It's probably good to think a little of the commands you use. Some people use, and we always use these euphemistic commands, you know, like hurry up or number one. Yeah, I probably wouldn't use words like that we sometimes use them around the house. Like we may say, you know, hurry up, dear, you know, it's time for the ballet. And then the dog dumps on the carpet. We don't want that. Or, you know, there's a Florida state, Florida supporter may be saying, oh, we're number one, we're number one. And now the dog lifts his leg and pees in the kitchen. So I just use words like go pee, go poop. With my first puppy, I actually trained him in Swahili, thinking, well, we don't want to use words in the common vernacular. And so I would say Omaha Inumagu'u to get him to lift his leg and urinate, and Umbwacho to get him to defecate. And it really is, you know, an indicator, I think. Even house training can be fun. It's like so many people think, you know, house training is such a yucky problem. But you can have a riot teaching your dog anything if you've got the right frame of mind. And I remember back to when Omaha was a puppy, and he was errorlessly house-trained. He was long-term, short-term confinement, never made a mistake. He was my first dog, and I charted everything he did, everywhere he peed, everywhere he pooped, what he chewed, which chew toys he liked the best, all that sort of stuff. He was my baby, what can you say? And this was the big night, the first night he was going to be left in the house on his own, that we were going to the ballet. And we went to the ballet, and we were gone for about, 3.5, maybe 4 hours in total. And I came back, and I was a little apprehensive. And I ran inside, immediately grabbed Omaha out the back, and I said, Omaha, Inumagu'u. And he peed. He really needed to pee. It was like a horse, you know. Whoosh. And then I asked him to poop. And I said, Omaha, Umbwacho, Umbwacho. And he didn't go. And I mean, I knew he had to go. I mean, like most, you know, good owners, I could predict to, you know, the minute when he needs to do it. And he had a full bowel, and he needed to go, and he wasn't going. So I was standing there, Umbwacho. And then after, it's about 10 minutes, my wife came out and said, you know, what are you doing, Ian? And I said, well, Omaha, you know, won't poop. And she said, well, shall I give him a try? And I said, yeah. And so she sang, Omaha, Umbwacho, 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 like this. And he doesn't do it. And I don't know what came over me, but hearing her repeat the command, I started chanting it. And I was going, Umbwacho, Umbwacho, like this. And the two of us started sort of walking around the garden like we're doing some kind of Indian rain dance. And we were going, Umbwacho, Umbwacho, Umbwacho. And then I just cracked up. I mean, I looked at the dog. He's then started to take a dump. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Here we are in the depths of darkest Oakland. And we have two people. They both have doctorates, an English man, a Chinese woman, who are communicating to an Alaskan Malamute in Swahili to get him to defecate, and he actually does it. And we just absolutely cracked up. And it was probably the biggest reward he ever had for defecating in his entire life. Anyway, the whole point of that too long a story, was that even house training can be fun. It really depends on your attitude. You know, when you're teaching, if you're teaching right, it's enjoyable. Let's talk a little about reward gradients for using outdoor toilets. This is a biggie, that obviously most people teach their dogs not to go around the house. There are a few people, you know, maybe live in big cities, high-rise apartments like in Manhattan or Singapore or Beijing or Tokyo, and they're going to teach their dog to use an indoor toilet. And this is, it's a pretty easy thing to do. The dogs get it very quickly because we've used the indoor toilet in, you know, our sort of errorless, you know, management system. It was there in the long-term confinement area, so the dog naturally wants to use it. That dogs naturally want to urinate and defecate as far as possible away from their sleeping area. And then once they've done it, if you clear up the feces, they'll do it again there tomorrow. If not, though, they will start spacing their feces. Their urine, though, is totally different. They're going to pee there tomorrow. They will always pee where they peed the day before. It's kind of like the, you know, it's pee mail. This is the dog's way of communicating. You pee here on this post and a couple of dogs pee on top, and then you come and check your pee mail and check who's peed here, and you pee again sort of thing. So they are going to want to pee in their doggy toilet again. And then the third preference they develop, apart from these spatial preferences from doing it away from their bed, an olfactory preference for peeing on where pee exists, preferably their own pee, but also a substrate preference. It's the sort of the feel, the look and feel of the substrate of the toilet. And they usually get used to eliminating on litter. Now, a great big tip here for those of you that are using the dog toilet only as a temporary means for the dog to eliminate, and eventually you want him to eliminate outside, make sure that the substrate in your dog's toilet is what we call the final substrate. So if you want him to pee in the park, then put down a roll of turf in his doggy toilet when he's a puppy. If you live in Manhattan, then maybe put down a thin concrete paving slab as a doggy toilet and just put it on a bit of linoleum or on a plastic bag or something so it doesn't stain the floor. That puppies develop very, very strong preference for what they're feeling underfoot when they eliminate. And if you set this up so this is the first time they pee and poop on the toilet, then they'll be hooked on it for life. Now they want to look for grass, they want to look for dirt, or they want to look for toilet. They want to look for a concrete slab. And for the puppies which are going to use the indoor toilet permanently, they are going to look for an indoor toilet which has dog litter in it. So if you want the dog to eliminate outside eventually, use turf, you know, or the final substrate in his toilet. Now we want him to use an outdoor toilet. Now, very few people do this. I'm very particular about my yard. And, yeah, not only do I want you to do it outside, but I want you to do it in a doggy toilet outside. Yeah, it's good that you didn't do it in the living room, but, you know, you could have done it somewhere else than on the step right outside the back door. So I don't want my dog doing it all over the lawn. I don't want the dog even walking on my flower garden. So there's many rules to the garden. And one of these rules is you use a dog toilet. And there's a little tiny area. It's about 1 yard by 2 yards. And it has a little fence around it, a little sign. It says dog toilet. This is for guests, for me. It's not for the dog, obviously. The dog can't read the sign. And it has a feces disposal unit, a great big drum buried underground, a 55-gallon drum with the bottom cut out and a tube coming to the surface. So when he poops, I just poop the poop down there, and it just digests and disappears. Now, what we do here is when we let the dog out in the yard, we watch him. And we set up like a target round the toilet. I actually had it with chalk on the lawn. So if the dog does it outside, I say, good boy. If he does it in the outer ring of the target, I say, there's a good boy, Omaha. Good boy. Good poop. Good pee. If he does it in the middle ring of the target, then I say, woo, Omaha. Very good. Here's a liver treat. If he does it in the center ring of the target, i.e. the bullseye, then yee-hoo! And I tell him, you're a good boy, liver treat, liver treat, liver treat, liver treat. So here he's on a differential reinforcement, and the closer he hits ground zero, the bigger the reward. Now, a huge tip for you, for those of you that walk your dogs to empty them out. And this is for a lot of people who live in big cities. If you've ever been to, say, Manhattan at 9 p.m. in the evening, it's hilarious. I mean, hundreds of people descend from these stories above, and they all have dogs, and big dogs. And they're walking them around Manhattan, and everybody's carrying a bag of dog doo. And I don't know if it's a unique New York custom or what, you know, like you have to walk your dog with a bag of dog do. Obviously, I'm joking. They're being very responsible owners and they're clearing up. But, you know, there's an easier way to do it. So what you do is you put your dog on leash, you go outside and you stand still, just like you did when you had a little puppy. A new rule, now we have to pee and poop before the walk. This way, when the dog pees and poops, you can quickly clear it up, put it in a bag, and you can dispose of it in your apartment complex trash can. You don't have to carry it all over Manhattan. Instead, you have an empty bag in your pocket as a spare. Also, as soon as the puppy pees and poops, you say, good boy, you want to go on a walk? You use the walk as a reward for peeing and pooping. This is a lot better than the way most people do it. Most people will put the dog on leash and they walk the dog, and he pees and they say, good dog, and he poops and they say, good boy, clear it up and come home. And it only takes a couple of trials, even for a basset, to learn that, hey, if you poop, that my walk suddenly ends. Well, the dog learns, you know, I can change that quickly. I can hold on to that. And now we have a terrible situation. You're walking the dog. He's holding on. He won't poop because if he knows if he poops, his walk will end. And when he comes back home, he's still full. So what does he do? He goes to your bedroom, takes a leak and poops. And so always remember, the walk is the biggest reward that you can use when the puppy urinates and defecates right outside your apartment. Good boy, then we go for a walk. Well, it's that time again, and I think I have to take another couple of minute break, and I will see you in 2 minutes.
From our home to your speakers, voiceamerica.com.
Kong Dog Toys are praised by owners and trainers alike for quality, versatility, and durability. The world's top veterinarians have recommended the original Kong toy for over 30 years. Kong has become the training tool of choice for addressing numerous behavioral challenges, including destructive chewing, excessive barking, and separation anxiety. The key to successful Kong training is to insert healthy dog food or treats into the Kong toy to entice your dog. Look no further than Kong Stuff and Brand Dog Treats, perfectly designed to fit Kong toys. Available wherever pet supplies are sold. Your dog will love you for it.
Walk with me and put an end to frustrating leash pulling, lunging, and jumping forever. Premier's Gentle Leader Head Collar has been delivering immediate, gentle control for years and has long been the number one recommended head collar endorsed by vets and trainers. Dogs love it because the unique design doesn't choke and eliminates any pressure on their throat. Pet owners love the Gentle Leader because it allows them to enjoy comfortable walks and a more satisfying relationship with their pet. Want to join the millions of dog owners that have found the secret to stress-free walks? Ask about Gentle Leader at your vet, trainer, or pet retailer.
Welcome back to iWolves with veterinarian and animal behaviorist Dr. Ian Dunbar, the pioneer of lure, reward, fun and games, dog-friendly dog training. Now back to the show.
Okay, this is Dr. Ian Dunbar, and we're back with iWolves. And before the break, we were talking about a few tips for house training your dog, getting him to do it on command, and getting them to do it before you go on the walk. So we use the walk as a reward. Now let's talk a little about chew toys. The biggest comment I get from people about chew toys is, well, I gave him a chew toy, but he didn't like it. I actually had this comment this weekend. I was at a wedding, and it was just someone I met on the street who owned a really cute little English bulldog bitch. She was really cute and wearing a nice little pink halter. And he said the dog's 7 months old and it's dismantled their house. I mean, it's literally taken the house apart. And I said, well, you know, use chew toys. And I said, I always recommend, I mean, for a bulldog, I would recommend either the black Kong and large size, irrelevant of the size of the dog, or the black football, the big kahuna, the biscuit bouncer. So I would go top of the line from Kong and Premier Pet Products here for a really good chew toy. And his comment was, oh, no, well, I've given him a chew toy, but he doesn't like it. Of course, doesn't like it. You've also got to teach him what it's for, that these chew toys do actually come with instructions, you know. So read them, and the instructions are not really for you. The instructions are for you to translate and to give to the dog. you got to stuff the chew toys with food. I can remember when I first came up with this idea was, oh boy, it's 15, nearly 20 years ago at a lecture at UCLA at the Extension, and someone said, but my dog doesn't like chew toys. And I said, then do something with them. Pick it up, play games, play fetch, waggle the chew toy in front of the dog's face, or stuff it with food. And as soon as I said it, I thought, yeah, that's a good one, because that's something that owners can do. They may not want to sit down and play with their dog and waggle the chew toy and have the chew toy on a string and play games of fetch and games of tug of war and, you know, and get the dog, you know, find the chew toy, clear up your toys and this sort of stuff. But, yep, they could stuff it with food and give it to the dog, and that just solves the problem. So, and what sort of problem does it solve? It's amazing. I've already said this is stellar information. This is a training nugget. It isn't just a glib comment I'm making. It's so important, and people don't do it. I tell them, buy 6 chew toys. Weigh out your dog's kibble, moisten it, stuff it in the chew toys, freeze them overnight. And what do you have in the morning? Well, you've either got a frozen squirrel dude or a Kongsicle. You've got something that you give to the dog, and he's going to settle down, and he's going to use it forever. So here's a list I made. This is actually extracted from a book I wrote called, strangely enough, Dr. Dunbar's Good Little Dog Book, written by Dr. Dunbar. There you go. And it's called David Let a Dog's List of Things Dogs Can't Do While Chewing a Chew Toy. And it's a partial list. I've just put 10 things down here. But it gives you an idea about what reward training is all about. If you teach the dog just one thing, do this, there's 100 alternative behaviors the dog can't do. And most of these behaviors are bad. Or let's put it this way. We would find them, as people, we would find them inappropriate and unacceptable. So here's David Letterdog's list of things dogs can't do while chewing a chew toy. Number 1, they can't chew carpets, curtains, cushions, couches, clothes, chair legs, children's toys, electrical cords, computer discs. They can't play might or mouth, human hands, arms, legs and ankles, and they can't play tug of war with trousers, skirts and shoelaces. That's quite a lot right there. Number 2, they can't surf kitchen counters, empty cupboards, lick butter from the refrigerator, trash the trash. That was a dog on my TV program. Amazing. Did all of that. Open the cupboards, lick down the butter, walk on the counters, open the refrigerator, get the other dog in trouble, jump in the trash can. Number 3, can't dig in the yard. Yep, we need Kongs and we need squirrel dudes and big kahunas and we need biscuit balls in the yard too. Can't dig in the yard for escape or enjoyment. The dog doesn't want to leave the yard now. All his toys are there. And he may, you know, dig a hole to bury a chew toy, but again, if we bury his chew toy in his digging pit, he'll soon learn then to only dig in my digging pit. The dog can't destroy the yard, chew garden furniture and fences, eat flowers, poison plants, truffle the cat for track cat feces. Number 5, the dog can't become overly anxious or bored when left at home alone. He's got a hobby now. He can't escape from solitary isolation in the yard through a dismantled fence. He can't obsessively and compulsively stare at a blank wall or chase his tail and run in ever-decreasing circles. That chewing chew toys is one of the easiest way to deal with the problems of separation anxiety and all the various obsessive compulsive disorders. The dog won't bark for the sake of barking. Now, certainly the dog will still alarm bark, say, at disturbances, and if someone, you know, rings the doorbell, but he's not going to lie there doing that mindless, you know, woo, 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 that sort of thing. He's not going to bark recreationally. He's going to chew recreationally. When you're walking your dog, he can't grab the leash and jerk back. I often get my dogs to carry an object when walking. I initially did this because Phoenix, my Malamute, used to suddenly jump into the bushes and grab cat feces. And she was so quick. You know, she'd pounce on it, kill it, and eat it. And then in the evening, she'd have a bit of sort of sticky feces stuck between her teeth. It was horrible. So I would make her carry an object when we walked. And if she put the object down, I'd pick it up and say, okay, let's go home. So now she would carry this the whole time. Number 8, the dog can't drive the car, cross-dress, and run up credit card balances. Obviously, I'm just checking here that anyone's still listening to this program and actually paying attention to this list. The dog also can't gnaw his paws, chew the root of his tail, aggravate flea allergies and inflaming hot spots, or otherwise indulge in noisy personal hygiene in the company of visitors. And 10, the dog can't annoy other animals, bait, bother, badger or bully other dogs, pester, plague, provoke, tease, trouble or torture cats and children, and otherwise be a pain. It can't do any of these things because what's he doing? He's lying down on the ground, chewing his chew toy, quietly and calmly. He's not chewing inappropriate items. He's not running around. He's not running around getting himself worked up. And he's not barking. This is so important. I want to recommend, I keep mentioning chew toys all the time. It's probably the number one product that I mention. And I certainly have some favorites. It's no coincidence that my favorite chew toys are made by the two sponsors of this program, Premier Pet Products and the Kong Company. And the reason for that is they make the best toys. And I'm one of these people that will only recommend things that I really like. You can't get me to do it for money, but I do it because the toy is really good. So starting, you know, historically, the Kong, I mean, this is like the original chew toy, the Cadillac of chew toys, brilliant for stuffing with kibble. The Kong obviously is made by the Kong Company. Moisten kibble, put it in the Kong, freeze it overnight, give it to the dog in the morning, a Kongsicle, brilliant. I really like the big kahuna, the football, the biscuit bouncer, the big black one. Brilliant for stuffing with treats, small treats, bit of chicken, bit of cheese. Squirrel dudes, also very good for stuffing with moistened kibble. Looks like a little squirrel. I kind of like them. I like the name too, squirrel dude. Biscuit balls are probably the best for stuffing with raw diet. The, you know, chicken backs or chicken necks, and you just jam it in there, freeze it. And it's very difficult for the dog to get out. And what happens here, of course, is that the food rewards, lures the dog to the chew toy, and it periodically rewards the dog for laying down quietly and chewing the chew toy. This is pure auto-shaping or self-training. All you have to do is to stuff the chew toys, and everything else is going to happen. So, what do we learn from all this? I guess the most important thing I've said today is be there. You know, we can't teach our dogs, can't teach our children unless we're there. The dog has to pee and poop, he has to chew, and someone has to teach him where to do it and what to chew. And I think another important thing is it's good that puppies learn these things right away. It's good for us to learn how to teach these puppies these things because, quite frankly, I mean, if we can't house train a puppy, how on earth are we going to potty train a child? So that's all we have for today. For information about pet dog training and behavior problems, check out dogstardaily.com, your source for all things dog, and without a doubt the most entertaining and educational doggy site on the web. So it's Dr. Ian Dunbar for iWoofs. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Dr. Dunbar's iWoofs, the owner-friendly and dog-friendly dog training show to help you understand dog training from the dog's point of view and to learn what you can learn from your dog. iWoofs is sponsored by Premier Pet Products and by the Kong Company. So it's goodbye from me, Dr. Ian Dunbar. Goodbye from Dune. Goodbye from Claude. And goodbye from Ollie.